Hello, everyone. My name is Nathan Fernandez from Bundesliga Back in the Net, and welcome to the Barnburner TV network on Zingo TV channel 250. Please remember to download both the Barnburner and Zingo TV apps in the respective iOS and Android app stores. While you download, please make sure to rate and leave a comment, and remember both apps are free. Zingo TV is also available on Google Chromecast, Amazon Fire, Fire TV Sticks, Roku, Roku Sticks, and on all smart TVs 2016 and forward. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Nathan Fernandez, and welcome to another edition of Bundesliga Back of the Net. We are by ourselves today. Vivian's got midterms. I'm sure if you listened to our previous show, the Canada Soccer Show, you'd know that we did some interest, did some foothead generations because it's just myself today. So, and there isn't really much to talk about, actually. So, like, we obviously had the international break, so not a lot of Bundesliga news going on there. But this upcoming week, there is a decent bit of news. And also, Thivian and I, like, obviously, I wish he was here to talk about it as well. But Thivian and I have decided to do almost like match day predictions, but turn it into almost like a tournament as such, or like a battle. So Thivian's gonna make his predictions each match week. I'm gonna make my predictions, and then at the end of the week, like whoever got it right, we're gonna tally up scores. So how we've decided the point system is, so you get 3 points for an exact a prediction. So like, for example, if I guessed Bayern Munich's going to win 3-2 on the weekend, and they actually do win 3-2, then I get 3 points. Say, but if I predict, say, a Bayern win and they also do win, maybe the score line was different, I would get 1 point. And if I didn't get the result right at all, I'd get 0 points. So I'm just going to go through the predictions that we made this week for this upcoming match weekend. Obviously, there's still some uncertainty surrounding the match week because of COVID-19 seems to have a resurgence. But right now, there's been a green light, and it looks like the games are going to go ahead. So I'm going to start now with Divian's predictions. So Divian predicts Bayern Munich to beat Werder Bremen 5-1. 5-1. Armenia Bielefeld versus Leverkusen, he predicts a 2-1 win for Leverkusen. Borussia Mönchengladbach versus Augsburg, he predicts a 2-2 draw. Hoffenheim versus Stuttgart, a 1-1 draw. Schalke versus Wolfsburg, a 2-1 draw. Vivian, I don't know what he's thinking, but he thinks that Schalke is going to grab their first 3 points of the year. Hopefully he's right, because I do want them to win as well. But I just don't think they're going to against Wolfsburg. He thinks Eintracht Frankfurt is going to beat Leipzig 3-1. Leipzig obviously being the team that was top of the table for many weeks until recently when Bayern knocked them off. But and then Hertha Berlin is going to lose to Ber sorry, not lose, is going to beat Borussia Dortmund 2-1. And Freiburg versus Mainz, he predicts a 3-3 draw, and Cologne versus Berlin, a 0-0 draw. So I'm going to go through my predictions now. So I think Bayern's going to win, obviously, but not as much as big of a scoreline that Thivian predicted with a 5-1 win. I'm guessing a 3-1 win between the two of them. Armenia Bielefeld, I think they're going to lose actually against Leverkusen, but with a 2-0 loss to Leverkusen. Gladbach, I think, is going to beat Augsburg 3-2. Hoffenheim, I think, are going to take the win over Stuttgart with a 2-1 victory. I think Schalke are they're really struggling this year, and I don't see them winning against Wolfsburg. Wolfsburg is a really strong team, so I've pegged Wolfsburg to beat them 2-0. I think Leipzig is still going to be that strong team that they've been showing in the start of the Bundesliga season with a 2-1 win over Eintracht Frankfurt. I think Dortmund is going to beat Hertha Berlin 3-1. I think Mainz and Freiburg, that is going to be a draw, a 1-1 draw. And I think Cologne is going to beat Union Berlin. I think it's going to be a really close game, but a 1-0 win for Cologne. So there you guys have it. That's our predictions for the upcoming match week. Hopefully, like by the end of the match week, hopefully these games actually go through. By the end of the match week, we'll tally up the scores on each episode, like we do show. We'll keep reminding people of the score line, and then what we plan to do, or at least for now, is I think we're gonna tally up all the points until the end of the Bundesliga season, and then whoever wins, like the loser, has to do a forfeit. So, like, I don't know. Like, there's obviously a lot of time to think about forfeits, but I really don't want to lose. So we'll see. Hopefully, my predictions and my soccer brain can take me across the finish line. Anyways, guys, so it has been a huge concern over the resurgence of COVID-19. We had players go on international break this week, and some of them are coming back with positive cases, a lot of big players actually. So I'm just going to go through an article I found, and this is not only Bundesliga teams and Bundesliga players. These are players from all over, okay? And there's some real concern about player safety and player health, because obviously people want to play games, but at the end of the day, what matters most is these players' safety. And to play these games also, they're not like the NBA, where the NBA could send all their players to Orlando and have a bubble. These teams are literally all across the country and all across Europe. So if there's no soccer, that means that there's no club football, that means there's no UEFA Champions League, there's no UEFA Europa League, there's no UEFA Nations League, there's no World Cup qualifiers, stuff like that. So just going to go through this list here of players that have been tested positive for COVID-19 since the international break. Mohamed Salah from Liverpool, big, huge player, tested positive twice, most recently on Wednesday while with Egypt. That's yesterday. And his status for Sunday's match against Leicester, it says unclear, but if he's tested positive twice, most likely he's not going to play. Mohamed Elneny, his Egyptian compatriot, tested positive as well. Same thing, tested positive twice, again on Wednesday while with Egypt. And again, his status for Leeds United match is unclear. My guess, both of those players not playing. Matt Doherty, playing for Tottenham, tested positive while away with Republic of Ireland, but he did test positive before their match yesterday against Bulgaria, not after. So there's a question of when did he get it? Who did he move around with? Is he fit to play this weekend? I'm gonna say no, because that people are gonna they're gonna be careful with it. Connor Cody, Wolverhampton Wanderers, his teammate in playing for Ireland, or not Ireland, for England, he's gone into self-isolation after meeting someone who had COVID. So there's a question now of if he has it or not. So maybe he might play if his tests come back negative. They did test him twice and they both came back negative, but obviously with the games coming up, they're going to test him more closer to the date. Luis Suarez, Atletico Madrid, tested positive with Uruguay and he's going to miss the game again this Saturday against Barcelona, which would be a huge game for him, having moved this year from Barcelona to Atletico Madrid, but obviously he can't compete. Lucas Torreira, Atletico Madrid player, from Arsenal, I think he's on loan at Atletico Madrid. He tested positive as well after playing with Uruguay. Milinkovic-Savic from Lazio tested positive after there was an outbreak in the Serbian squad, actually, in their international travel. So not only did Milinkovic-Savic get it, but Alexander Kolarov of Inter Milan and Miljovic from Crystal Palace are just some of the players that got the disease. So there's huge concern there with the entire Serbian national team there. Marcelo Brozovic from Croatia, he tested positive. Same as well did Domagoj Vida, He's tested positive as well after playing two games with after playing games in against Turkey. Diego Rossi, now the first player from none of the European leagues, Diego Rossi of LAFC in Major League Soccer. He was the regular season Golden Boot winner and returned a positive test while playing with Uruguay, and he's now going to miss the LAFC's team a playoff opener on November 24th. And then also, like previous international breaks, there was, I think the trend here is that whenever these players go on international breaks, there's a high risk that they're going to contract COVID. You saw that with previously with Ronaldo, Mbappe, Pogba, all got COVID when they were playing with France and Portugal. So there's a huge concern. I think honestly, the best thing to do right now is to maybe cancel international games. I know that it sucks you don't get to play for an international team, but still, like when you have players from different countries all meeting up together at one spot, you're just increasing the risk of spread and increasing the risk of just almost like players getting it in one country and then taking it to their separate countries. Like for example, Portugal and France. If Ronaldo plays in Italy, Bernardo Silva plays in England, and João Felix plays in Spain. So all those three players are coming together, and they not only increase the risk amongst themselves, but they also increase the risk of spread back in their countries where they play in, and also with their club football teammates. Aside from COVID, a lot of players actually got injured this international break, and you start to think of maybe it's because of the overload of games, and maybe because players are fatigued. So the first big injury here is Joe Gomez from Liverpool. He underwent surgery after hurting a tendon in his left knee during England, and he's going to miss majority of the rest of the season. So with Liverpool, there's huge concerns there with defensive depth. You had Virgil van Dijk, who went out injured, and Joe Gomez, who's gone out injured. Now, really, the only center backs they have are Joel Matip and Nathaniel Phillips, who, let's be real, they're not the players you want to be playing week in, week out. Jordan Henderson, Liverpool's captain and another England player, he had leg tightness when playing against Belgium, and they're not really sure of like the severity of his issue, but there's high doubts that he's going to play for a while. Harry Maguire, another England player, played 90 minutes in their win over Iceland, and he got a bruised foot, and again, there's doubts that he's going to play this weekend. Victor Lindelof against Sweden, he had a back issue. Raheem Sterling missed England's game, actually. He didn't play due to it's probably what the reports are that it's a calf issue that he had during a training session, but there's no real reports coming on saying that. But still, a calf issue could see him miss out on the Man City game this week, as well as his teammate Nathan Ake playing for the Netherlands had a what's expected to be a hamstring injury, and he with a hamstring injury he's going to miss a lot of time with that. Sergio Ramos left Spain's game after having a discomfort in his right hamstring. Then again, he's right now they're expecting him to miss at least three games with Madrid. Rafael Varane, another Madrid defender, center back, played only 45 minutes against Sweden, but he's got another hamstring issue. Sergio Busquets had a left knee sprain. He's not going to play against Atletico Madrid. Neymar, PSG, is going to has been dealing with a groin injury that he got in October, and apparently, in the training session with Brazil, he probably kind of overdid it and exaggerated it. Rafael Leao of AC Milan, he's going to suffer a thigh injury. He's suffering from a thigh injury, and he's going to miss about 2 weeks after playing with Portugal's under-21 side. Victor Osimhen of Napoli, he dislocated his shoulder. and Ezequiel Palacios of Bayer Leverkusen fractured a bone in his spine while featuring for Argentina in a World Cup qualifiers. So when you think of those injuries and you think of what's happening to these players, there's a lot of muscle tightness issues and there's a lot of hamstring injuries. These are not common. I guess these are not injuries that come from contact. They're more of wear and tear of players and them playing too much. I think people worry too much about, oh, the money we're going to make from broadcasting and all the money that we're going to make from jersey sales and all of that stuff. But people are starting to now realize how difficult it is for these players to play at a high level, train every single day, and now they're picking up really significant injuries. To have that many hamstring issues occur over one international break, and that too to such big players for their team. You think about Liverpool and you think about all of their players that they're missing, and then you look at Real Madrid with some of the players that they're missing out of injuries, with Ramos and Varane being their center back pairing, I've now gone with hamstring issues. Victor Lindelof, like Man City, like they're just losing players are dropping like flies essentially due to overworking their bodies during this time. And it's unfortunate that COVID kind of pressed season schedules, but I really think that somebody needs to come in and decide that, okay, this season we don't play as much games. Give the players a bit of a break. We see this with the NBA and what they've done. The NBA are expected to start playing Christmas week. So that's December 22nd, I think. And they're expected to play all the way until late May or maybe early June and then have their playoffs in July. So what happens normally with the NBA is they start playing a summer league in preseason in September, and then they start in October. So right off the bat, you can see there that they understand that there's a real concern for player safety and also with the current regulations in the US. So they've decided to shorten their season, and I don't see why Europeans like soccer can't do that, because on one hand you had players play. Like in North America, you had players not really playing that much or like trying to limit the amount of playing they had. But you look at England and teams like that, they started as soon as they could. You look at Bayern Munich and PSG, who had made it to the UEFA Champions League final, not only less than 2 weeks, I'd say, after winning the final, Bayern Munich was already in preseason training. So there's no break for these players this entire time. And it's starting to show its effects. So enough about COVID talk. We don't really have much time here, but I do want to bring up something else. And last week, Thivian and I were talking about national teams and their so-called golden boy generation, and where teams really have a good group of great players, and then how they slowly start to decline. And with the Bundesliga show, obviously there's a huge focus on Germany and Germany's national team. And like I said before, there's a huge, huge concern about Germany's decline. This weekend, Germany was playing against Spain. Now, when you go to play against Spain, you don't expect to win, but at the same time, when you're Germany, you don't expect to lose. So Germany fielded a pretty good team. They had a center back pairing of Nicolas Sulla and Robin Koch, one of Bayern Munich and the other one playing for Leeds United, a midfield three of Ilkay Gundogan, Leon Goretzka, and Toni Kroos, and a front three of Leroy Sané, Serge Gnabry, and Timo Werner. So when you look at that team on paper, you expect them to do really well because they're all great players. But guess what? They lost to Spain 6-0. Now that game was embarrassing for the German team. A lot of former players have come out and said like this team didn't look like they wanted to play with each other. They didn't look cohesive. There was no teamwork, no communication, and that's true. You just and it's not only that, you just look at the the style of play that Germany has had now. Obviously, head coach Yogi Löw, he's been with the national team side for so many years. And you just wonder, from a coach's standpoint, is there the concern that the players maybe need a new voice in the dressing room? He's been the coach for so long. Maybe he should step down. You obviously had Hansi Flick, who was playing, being his assistant coach, who's now moved into the role at Bayern Munich. So I think a search really needs to go on to find a new voice. And aside from that, you just look at the players and their style of play on the day. So you have Leroy Sané, Serge Gnabry, and Timo Werner. They're all players who are not necessarily players who take the ball and create something themselves. They're more like finishers, and especially Gnabry and Sané, I like to call them runners. What they do is they hug the line, they hug the wings. And what they do is, if there's a creative midfielder in them, they'll spread the ball to the wings, and these guys, with their pace, they can latch onto it and then do something with it when they've already created space for themselves. But what you found with the game against Spain is they weren't able to do that. They weren't able to find space for themselves because nobody was putting the ball into good areas. So you look at the front three, they're basically useless that game. And then you drop to the midfield. You look through and you wonder, okay, who out of the midfield could be supplying balls? Toni Kroos, Goretzka, and Ilkay Gundogan. What a terrible midfield three when you're looking to create something. All three are deep-lying midfielders, not really known for their creative ability. Gundogan, a deep-lying box-to-box, a kind of diminutive figure. Goretzka, a really big, like almost like defensive midfielder, and Kroos as well. Like, he's pretty good, but he's not that kind of creative player, not the type to create chances. He's more of that player to like kind of collect the ball and like spread the ball side to side. He's that box to box midfielder. There was no number 10, and that's what really lacking in the German team right now. So I really don't know what's going on with Germany. You just wonder, like, what do they plan on doing from now? Because you look at that team and you just wonder, like, oh, Kai Havertz is a number 10, and Julian Brandt is a number 10. But then also wonder, why didn't they play? And that all comes down to the coach's decision. And unfortunately, Yogi Löw, maybe, like, I love him. I think he was a great coach and is possibly one of Germany's best ever coaches. But I think it's now time for him to maybe move on, maybe for him to try something else. Maybe he'd do well as maybe a club football manager. I just think the national team, like, his generation was that golden boy generation that Germany had, and it's now time to move into a new era of German football. So you change your players, but you also change your manager as well. Anyways, guys, that is all the time we have for today's show. Thanks for watching. I hope you enjoyed it. Ladies and gentlemen, this show can be heard on the Barnburner Radio Network on all of its 122 platforms. Please check us out at barnburner.ca for all of the sports news. Barnburner, watch it, hear it, read it, download it, and live it.